Good evening, everybody. Can y'all hear me okay? All right. Man, how such a blessing it is to be here tonight with you guys. I feel like this is my home away from home. Amen? Me amongst brothers, a lot of familiar faces. A lot of necks I got to hug as I came in this evening. I'm just so encouraged by that. I appreciate Alan inviting me to come and share the Word of God with you guys this evening. And I told him the other night at SOS when we were together, I said, you know, we're like Siamese twins. They try to separate us at birth, but we keep coming back together. So, hallelujah. But love my brother and appreciate his heart. And anyway, open your Bibles up with me this evening to Psalm 127. God's got a specific, unique word for some of us, hopefully all of us in here tonight, in this psalm we're going to be looking at. And so I want to open it up and let's begin by reading these verses. So Psalm 127, verse 1. Unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stand guard in vain. In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves. Sons are a heritage from the Lord. Children are a reward from Him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are sons born in one's youth. Blessed is a man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their enemies in the gate. Pray with me, would you? God, I just pray tonight that you take your word, Father, and challenge our hearts. Teach us tonight, God, what it means to build your way according to your word and not our own, God. Father, get a hold of our lives and change us and challenge us to become the people of God you call each one of us individually to be, Lord. God, I pray even as I speak and challenge us through your word tonight, God, I pray that open ears and open hearts to receive what it is you want to do in this place, God. Father, I pray that even as we've come in tonight, Father, that we will go out different from that way, Father. So do what only you can do in this place tonight, Father, I pray. And I'll give you the thanks in advance in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen. Unless the Lord builds a house, the builders labor in vain. Think about that just for a moment. I was thinking about this word because it's not a word we hear used a lot. This word vain, or in vain. And I looked it up. I like looking at words, doing word studies and stuff. It means basically to be ineffectual or unsuccessful. So basically, if you reread that, according to what that is meaning, unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labor unsuccessful. It's going to come to nothing, basically. And so, looking at this whole psalm, by itself and just thinking, you know, because I'm going to pull a lot of other scriptures that kind of complement this psalm. This psalm, in fact, I knew it was something God wanted me to be preaching on, was preparing me way beforehand, because I don't even know if Alan remembers this, but several weeks back, I texted him this particular psalm, you know. This is way before I knew that Butch was going to line me up to preach this for you guys in Living Hope College Station tomorrow. But I'm thinking of this, and I'm thinking, okay, God, teach me, show me personally something in this psalm. And doing a little bit of background and understanding the psalm, this was a psalm written by Solomon. If you know about Solomon, he was one of the wisest, probably the wealthiest man that ever lived. Has some positive traits about him, okay? He, for one, built the temple of God, okay? He wrote the books of Ecclesiastes, Song of Psalms, and many of the Proverbs, okay? So God used him mightily throughout his life. But for whatever reason, when he came towards the end of his life, you see some things kind of changed. Maybe you could say he lost perspective about certain things. His kingdom became a ruin. He had many wives, had many marriages that were basically failures because he tried to do it in his own way. He stopped depending on God. He stopped trying to do it the way that God had already told him to do. See, he knew what he needed to do. He was a wise man. But he stopped depending on him. He allowed other little, quote, little g gods and lesser concerns to come between him and God. Is that you in here this evening? You allow little petty things on your job or in your school, wherever you're at sometimes, to come between you and God? And so you start missing it? This is where Solomon was, okay? He knew better than he lived. He really did, see? But he walked less and less on the wisdom that God gave him and tried to build his life rather apart from God. And that's why he came to this toward the end of his life. But today, what I want to address is three important human concerns that this psalm overall addresses for all of us. Number one is accomplishment, building, constructing, doing things that may seem to need to last for you, accomplishment. Number two is security. What do you feel secure in or about? Okay, and we're going to address some of those tonight. And then finally, family, children, husbands, wives. Okay, I believe this points out these particular areas. Okay, so let me ask you along those lines, what have you, excuse me, I'll mix up my papers here. Have you ever rather begun something incorrectly and found out that you had to start over to make it right? Anybody like that ever done something like that? You started something, you said, man, I'm on my way, I'm going to do something, and then all of a sudden you get in the middle of it or you finish and you realize, man, what I did was, it was wrong, okay? Let me give you some examples. Cooking. How many here ladies like to cook? Maybe some guys too. Cooking, okay? You like to cook. But you get into that recipe and you're working at it and you get almost to the end of finishing it out and you realize, wait a minute, I forgot an ingredient or two or three. And then it doesn't turn out the way you thought it was going to turn out. Or maybe a journey. You know, you look on those paper maps, believe it or not, for you young kids, we used to use before GPS came out. The paper maps, some of y'all remember those. Come on, they're still around. We're not that old now, come on. Okay? But the paper maps, you know, you take a head, you can head down this little bitty road and you know, it'll take you down this way and you'll eventually wind up in your destination. But sometimes, in fact, I remember several years ago, Irene and I were traveling through Oklahoma and I don't know the state very well and I was like, yeah, if we take this little road, it'll take us right where we need to go. Wind up being a dead end. Okay, I mean, it looked like on the map it'd get us where we needed to be, but it didn't. Okay, so in the end, you wind up it's you headed in the wrong direction. So it took you to the wrong destination. Okay, something else: building a literal house or structure, building. Okay, you don't build properly, so the house doesn't stand. We saw in the little illustration with the cars, and I meant to leave them up here, they kind of were getting carried off, but, you know, the cars didn't stand, okay, because it didn't have a solid foundation. Turn me to Luke 14 real quick. Just want you to see something in what I'm trying to bring out in this. Luke chapter 14. It says right here, suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Verses 28 through 30, excuse me. Luke 14, 28 through 30. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. In fact, I might have that. You can just display it on the overhead. Will he not first sit down and estimate the cost to see if he has enough money to complete it? For if he lays the foundation and is not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule him, saying, this fellow began to build and was not able to finish. Now, this is kind of pulled out a little bit of the context here is about salvation, counting the cost, what it's really going to take for you to follow Jesus with your whole heart. But I like the way it's put here about building this tower and laying a foundation there, okay? Because that's really where it begins, okay? You got to lay that foundation. So, understanding that, and whatever you do before you begin to build, think about what you want to accomplish first. Think about what is it going to take for me to get to where I am or where I'm at right now in my building, my life, to where God wants me to be. Okay, that accomplishment. Okay, and some things about accomplishments for a moment. Man is just a builder. Okay, He builds houses, he builds cars, he builds boats, he builds rockets, televisions, satellites, and the list goes on and on. Man is a builder. Okay? You can look around and see that. Even this building was built by men, or maybe women too, but man is a builder. Okay? It's in his nature to build, as we are created in the image of God. And guess what? God's a builder too. He built the universe. Amen? Okay, so God builds. We're creating his image. We're going to build as well. Okay? But there are two ways you can build. You can build dependent on God, or you can build independent of God. Okay? Dependent on God requires humility. You come before him and say, God, I can't do this apart from you. I need you in this, Lord. Help me. Reach out to him. That's humility. Independent, on the other hand, is all about pride. Look at what I can do. Look at what I can accomplish. Look at how I can do it. Okay? And so, if what we build is for ourselves and not for God's glory, guess what? We built in vain. Like the passage said, built in vain. You missed it. You missed it. Turn with me now to 1 Corinthians 3:10. I want y'all to look this up. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10. Paul writing here to the Corinthians. I'll give you a minute there to turn. He's addressing in this context the divisions in the church, but basically understanding, they're trying to get them to understand this foundation he wants them to lay. He says and begins in verse 10, by the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should be careful how he builds. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Christ Jesus. Verse 12. If any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is. Amen? Because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test the quality of each man's work. If what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. But if it's burned up, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames. Check that out. Paul's trying to get them to understand, look, you better be building on things that really, really matter. And I think this really has to do with maybe rewards or things, blessings that we will receive once we get into heaven. More than just salvation. There may be other things I believe God wants to bless us with in that. Okay? But some of us want to build and do things for ourselves apart from God. Okay? And again, back to pride. Back to saying, this is what I can get out of it. This is what I can do to puff myself up. Okay? He goes on to say from that about our bodies being the temple of God's Spirit to dwell within us. Okay? So when man builds apart from God, he's building with a prideful heart, okay? And the Lord's going to tear it down. He's going to tear it down. Malachi 1:4 says, you build it up in your pride, in your arrogance, and I'm going to tear it down. I'm going to tear it straight down. It's not going to last, okay? And that goes with ministry, any kind of things that we do for our own glory apart from God. It's going to tear it down. Ultimately, building without God is going to bring three things. And hear me closely. Frustration, hopelessness, and discouragement. Anybody there tonight? Anybody get to that place where sometimes you think, man, I'm just so frustrated. I can't get somebody else to come to church with me. I'm frustrated. I'm trying to do this for my family. I'm frustrated. I feel hopeless sometimes. And I get discouraged because you're trying to build it without God. Let him come in and do his work. Let him do only what he can do. And that comes by allowing him to be God in your life. Every area. We're going to talk some more about that in a minute, about allowing him to be God. Because I'm dealing right now with this pride issue that keeps us from. Remember that independent and dependent? We're in the independent right now. Doing it all in and of ourselves. Let me give you a great example of this. It's found in Genesis 11:4. You don't have to turn there. I'm just going to read it. So I'm not going to read very much of it. But this is what was happening. You know the story of the Tower of Babel. It says, then they said, come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens, so that we may make a name for ourselves and not be scattered over the face of the whole earth. Now, isn't that cute? They're going to go and build a tower to try to reach to the heavens where God dwells. And look what God says in verse 5. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower that the men were building. I think that's kind of funny. They're trying to build this big tower to reach God, and God has to come way down to see. It's like that little bit way down there. What kind of thing are they building down there? I mean, isn't that funny? Think about that. They're trying to reach God, and God's having to come way down to their level. Okay? Verse 7 says, come, let us go down and confuse their language so that they will not understand each other. See this? God had to go down there, and again, just like the Malachi, you try to build it up, I'm going to tear it down. I'm going to scatter y'all throughout the face of the earth so that that construction project is going to shut down. And that's what he did. See, these people were prideful. They sought their own will and not the will of God. That's why somebody can't get saved up in here tonight. You're too prideful. You don't want to get that building started and saying, God, help me start on the foundation of Christ Jesus, just like we read about when Paul was preaching to the Galatians, or the Corinthians, excuse me. And it's pride that does that. They had no humility. In arrogance, they shook their fist at God. They had no dependence. We can do whatever. We can gather bricks and mortar, do what we have to do to make our own tower, our own building. And again, they built in vain. They built in vain. Sure, at that time, people walked by. That's that tower those people started. What happened? They're all gone now. They're scattered. Because God's going to get his way. Even in our pride. In fact, the Bible says that God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. I beg you, I urge you, come in humility. There's no reason why you shouldn't be at this altar broken over your sin. Broken over the things that you know don't please God. A holy God at that. Build his way, a building that stands when the storms of life come. Is somebody with me tonight? I think maybe one or two of y'all are getting it. Not everybody. Come on, come in here. Get this with me tonight. It's powerful. I'm glad Brother Allen gets it. Hallelujah. It must be the blood between us, but something, you know. It's just God. It's not in our own power. It's not our own pride. Going to happen. Let me give you an illustration. Do the Luke 12. When you have to turn there, I'm going to read it to you. Luke 12. Look at this. And this is what amazes me about this story right here in Luke 12. Pretty funny. Bless you. 12:16, beginning 16:20. Here's the ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store all my crop. I want y'all to catch this when I'm shouting it out. I'm trying to drive a point home here. Then he said, this is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones. There I will store all my grain and my goods. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. Isn't that nice? I see pride all up in this thing. But God said, you fool. You fool. This very night, your life will be demanded from you. Then who will you get, who will get what you have prepared for yourself? A lot of the things we build in our lives, guys, somebody else is going to reap that from that. You know? That's why I'm learning more and more every day to hold things with an open palm. God, you gave, you could easily give away. God, you gave, you could easily give away. Because you know what? It's not ours to take. We're not taking nothing from this life. And only what you do for Jesus Christ is going to last for eternity. That's it. That's it. So I hope you're catching some of these illustrations. I love allowing the Bible to complement itself through other passages. Again, unless the Lord builds the house, those who labor, labor in vain. Accomplishments. This man built his life on pride and selfish gain. He thought he had many years stored up to come. And this very night, his soul. It reminds me of that passage. You know, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? Doesn't profit him nothing. Build on what's eternal. Build on what's going to last. I meant to go over this in the kids chat, but Matthew chapter 7. Y'all look this one up. Matthew 7, verse 24 and through 27. Y'all familiar with the stories we went recently, I know, through the, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. So, it was something we preached not long ago in our churches. It begins in verse 24 of Matthew chapter 7. It says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rains came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash." How tragic. How tragic. And even in our world today, I look around and I see people that are investing so much time and effort and money on that next big hunt or that next big game or that next big whatever the situation is, only to know it's not going to last. It's going to crumble. It's going to fall. And yet, time and time again, even we as Christians, if we just got honest in here tonight, I know I do. I may not be preaching to nobody else up in here tonight, but I know I'm preaching to me. We get caught up in too much of this world. And sometimes we don't look any different than the world. We don't. And so again, like this wise and foolish man building on the wrong things, the wind's going to blow. And something's going to fall with a great crash, but something's going to stand. What is that something in your life? What is that? You must acknowledge that God is the true builder of all things and that you can only do what you can by His grace. I think I heard Alan or somebody during the prayer time. We've lost that. God's grace doesn't only save you, it changes you. Amen? It gives you the power to overcome sin and walk in victory. That's His grace. Unmerited favor. You know? And so we can only build our lives, our families, and we're going to get to them in a minute, on His grace. You must acknowledge your dependence on Him. God spoke to my heart years ago in a prayer, not in a prayer service, not in a worship time with a bunch of believers. It was in my prayer closet alone at night. He asked me, "What is prayer, Manny?" I guess bringing my request before you, God, talking to you. I heard it again, "Manny, what is prayer?" Prayer is dependence. This is why we don't pray much in the church today. I'm not going to pick on you guys, but there was a handful in prayer earlier before. This is open to the body from what I understand. Same with us at Living Hope. We're not dependent on God. Come on. You must acknowledge your dependence on Him if you're going to build on His principles. You must pray and ask God for help in building your house and your life. That's one thing our pastor always taught us. Pastor Butch is the most simplest prayer. You don't know what to pray, say, "God help. God help." I don't know what to pray. Even teach me even to pray what I need to pray, what I need to say. Sometimes you just may need to lay prostrate before Him and just say, "God, I just help." And again, that's humility. It takes humility. You must remain humble before Him. Don't lose that. If we could get humility back in the church in a way that's just broken, man, God, we need you. We want to build on you. We can't do it apart from you, God. There are only two kinds of foundations you can lay. A godly one or an ungodly one. Now, we can come to church and we can look the part and we can think that we've got it all figured out and understand that we're looking supposedly godly. But you know you, and I know me. Godly or ungodly. Holy, unholy. Righteous, unrighteous. What kind of foundation do you lay? Do you display to a holy God and before a holy God? Okay? So let me ask you tonight, on which are you building? The godly foundation or the ungodly one? Even though you may look the part. Are you basing everything you do on God's grace or your works? See, I think sometimes we can take pride even in the accomplishments we do ourselves. And I don't think sometimes there's necessarily that's wrong, but when that becomes the main focus, then I think it's wrong. But I think overall, God gifts us with talents and abilities. I can appreciate Brother Bill Moss. Where you at? I saw you earlier. I prayed with you earlier, so I know he's here. I can appreciate that man's talents right there. Especially when I've been with him on a mission project before. And when we're doing some kind of lumber cutting or anything to do with construction and carpentry, I want to be close to that brother because he knows he's got it going on. And I don't. Carpentry is probably my least expertise as far as general maintenance. I'd rather do any. Give me an air conditioner, give me an appliance, I'll service it. But carpentry, I just really don't care too much about. That brother knows what he's doing with lumber. In fact, by the way, I need to get with you about something along something else to construct something for me, brother. But I appreciate you. See, that's giftings. That's talent that God has gifted that man to use for his glory. And every one of us in here tonight, you're gifted with something that God wants to use for his kingdom. Okay? But let me ask you this. Are you dependent on God or are you trusting in yourself? That's the difference between those two. Y'all hear what I'm saying? Are you dependent on God? Say, God, here's my talents, here's my gifts, here's my abilities. Take them and use them. Or are you gifted? Are you trusting rather in yourself? You're saying, these are what I can do, so I'm going to go over here and make my own money and do my own thing over here. Work myself to death with the giftings that God's given me. Give very little back and just hoard it. We already read the story about the man that tried to hoard everything. Look what happened to him. In his pride, he got humbled. I'm fixing to meddle right now. I'm fixing to meddle. You're either dependent or you're not. You're either humble or you're not. There is no in between. You're either lukewarm. Rather, you are lukewarm. You're either hot or cold. God wants you one way or the other, not lukewarm. So decide, where are you going to stand? Tonight, there's no reason why you should walk away from this sermon tonight saying, you know what, I want to start building His way, according to His will, His ways. But here's some things, some practical things you got to do. For the Lord to build a house, for one, you got to trust Him. You got to trust Him. Because sometimes God is going to lead you to do things that ain't going to make sense. That's kind of in the boat right now that I'm in, personally. I'm not going to go into detail about all that, but right now God is teaching me and stretching me to trust Him in ways that don't make sense to me. Now you're hearing from a man, and I'm not saying this, please don't take this in a prideful way, that I've just heard the voice of God when God touched my daughter. So I know God can do things, but He's stretching my trust. You must trust God. Especially when it don't make sense. Maybe you could call it a crisis of belief for those of you that have taken experience in God. Okay? Second part of that, you must be patient. Sometimes God works out things, not in your timing, but in His. Okay? In fact, many times it's according to His timing, not your own. But you got to be patient and wait, pray. Pray some more. Wait, pray, and pray some more. Wait, pray, and pray some more. Be patient. Just know that God is the one that's helping you to get from where you are to where He wants you to be. Okay? And then you must yield yourself to His will and to His Spirit. And again, that can only happen, guys, through humility. That can only come in brokenness and saying, God, I need your help. I can't do it apart from you. Okay? I want you to see another illustration about carpentry and building and just something about our Lord. See, Jesus was a carpenter by trade. It's what He did. You know, and a carpenter, obviously, one who constructs things. You know, wood, table, furniture, whatever, houses, buildings. In John 14, you have that passage? You can put that up. He says, I don't know about you guys, but I get encouraged from this passage. Very encouraged, because I see that the Lord, being a carpenter by trade when He was on earth, He's building something for us even better than we could ever experience on earth. He says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. Some translations that says many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. I don't know about you, but I'm encouraged by these words. A carpenter on earth, now a glorified carpenter, building us a mansion, a dwelling place with our God. Amen? A dwelling place with our God. It's going to happen. It's what He's doing. It's His promise to us. So we can take comfort in knowing that. Again, back to building, constructing. His way, not our way. He's going to do it, not us. So ultimately, the house that we build, like this house of cards I put together, threw together, it's not going to stand. It's going to crumble. Okay? The house the Lord builds will stand forever. And we can see in this passage He had up just a moment ago, is going to stand forever. That's our eternal dwelling home. Okay? So those are some things in accomplishment that we come to and we say, God, I want to do it your way. What is that? Teach me that. You know? I didn't want to give out too much of my thunder earlier in the prayer thing when Brother Barney asked me about some things in this, but I'm telling you, this is what it comes down to, doing it God's way and not your own. Okay? Amen? Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stand guard in vain. Transition now a little bit to into security. Okay? And just to give you a little bit of background in security. In ancient times, back in, you know, Bible days, whatever, there were guards who would stand watch at night against enemies and would try to attack unexpectedly. And Israel had been at war with many nations. And their security as a nation and as individuals was a very real concern. Okay? So they had to have these guys in place, a watchman that would stay through the night. And I like the way we call that even in our watchman prayer. How many involved with every? I should have 100% involvement in watchman prayer if you're building a house for God. Amen? Amen. Somebody, I ought to get an amen for that. But somebody is steadily around the clock 24-7, and even with some stuff going on in the community about wanting to get a 24-7 around the clock prayer going within the body of Christ, somebody's always on the wall watching and praying. And I could even appreciate that more. And my son, who's now in the Navy, he tells me, you know, Dad, I got watch tonight, you know, or I got watch tomorrow. You know, and now I understand what watch is. He's having to stay and patrol around that boat all night long, or whatever his time is for that. Okay? So there was a security they were wanting to accomplish in this. Okay? Today, there are nations that want to destroy the U.S. You can look at, you know, everything going on with the war on terror and just the war in general. You know, we're fighting over in, you know, Iraq and Afghanistan and places like that. There are people who do not want Christianity to flourish in America, even here in our own home. Okay? And there are religions that seek to destroy Christianity. And even you. Wake up, church. Wake up. We're in a real battle here. Put that passage, 1 Peter 5:8. Understand who's behind these attacks. He says, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. He's looking to tear you down. Tear you apart. Get you out of the race. Discourage you. Some of you might be there tonight. You've allowed this to happen. Some of you might be in that place where you've just struggled and you said, you know, I give up. This devil's too strong for me. Are you kidding me? 1 John 4:4 says, greater is he who's in us than he who's in the world. And yet we walk around sometimes defeated and discouraged in that, thinking, yeah, we've got enemies, and yeah, we need to be secure, but guess what? God's going to bring the security, not you. Even back to our own country, I believe the United States of America still has the protective hand of God over. Believe it or not, as wicked as we've become as a nation, I still believe overall, and even in recent years, how there have been thwarted efforts to try to set off a bomb or do something else to our nation, and yet it came to nothing. See, the Lord is the true watchman. He's the one that's going into battle for us, okay? And he's the one we need to learn to look to for security, okay? Jesus is the true watchman. He says in John 10, 7 through 9. And I like this illustration because I can picture this. He says in John, did I have that passage? Yeah, good. He says, therefore, Jesus says, I tell you the truth. I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. This is, again, another comforting passage of Scripture that teaches us that he's the one that's watching the door. And let me give you a paint the picture here. Jesus being referred to as the door or the gate. See, back in his day, sheep herding was a big occupation. It may even still be in some parts of the world. But the shepherd would pin up the sheep at night and sleep in the doorway. Okay, he'd pin them all up and he'd close that gate or door and he'd sleep right there to protect them from going out and getting hurt or wandering off, or even for another animal to come in and tear him apart, a wolf or something. And so this is what Jesus is for you. Think about the security that he offers you, okay? He's our security. He's our watchman. He's that gate that protects us. Psalm 32, 7 says, you are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble. You will be there. He's our ever-present help in time of trouble. Okay? Amen? So understand the Lord is the one that's bringing security. He guards our lives. In fact, Philippians 4, 7 says, the peace of God which transcends all understanding shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. More than just protecting you from the external things, even the things that you allow to come into your heart, come in and try to take over, He's going to protect you. He's going to be there, give you the peace of God in those things. Okay? We're going to move on in because I want to cover some more stuff and I don't want to run out of time, but that the second part of that verse back in Psalm 127. I lost my place. In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves. Now, looking at this passage, this doesn't mean that we aren't to work hard. Amen? I mean, we really should work and do our best. We're on our jobs, give 110%. And again, it's all for God's glory. Amen? So, God is not, you know, against that. We need to work hard. But, in fact, he even says, and God is he discourages laziness. Says, if a man doesn't work, he doesn't eat. He shall not eat. Okay? So we need to be proactive in providing for our families, okay? God expects men, especially, to work hard and provide for their families, okay? But on the other extreme of that too, you can be a workaholic. And that's not good either. You can be like I have been in years past, working three, even sometimes four jobs and overdoing it. Okay? Thinking, well, got to make that next dollar, or got to make this payment or this bill, whatever. You're a workaholic and you're never home. You're never with your family. You're never able to be used by God to help your family. We're fixing to get into that in a minute. Okay? So workaholic is, and we see that more and more even today. People even going, I hear, going on vacations, taking their cell phones, their laptops, and doing work while they're away. They're on vacation still working. It's a workaholic. Okay? They rise early, stay up late. You need to work hard, be productive. However, it's important to recognize that God is the one who keeps you safe and secure. God's the one who's going to give you the production you need to make for whatever you're doing to provide for you through that job or through whatever vocation you're a part of. God's the one that's doing it. He's the one we need to lean on and trust to help us be able to, you know, again, provide for our families. So we need to trust Him. Back to that trust issue. Okay? The second part of this verse has to do with He grants sleep to those He loves. It has to do with rest. Okay? And kind of two ways you can, I've heard it's been translated or looked at and received is that, you know, God is the one who provides for us, so even while we sleep or rest, God is at work. Okay? Even while you are resting, God's still doing something. Okay? He's still at work. And the second part of that is, you know, He basically gives rest to His people. It's like a blessing. You don't really need to take sleeping pills. He's going to give you rest, okay? But sometimes we get too worked up and we get too anxious about the job or about loss of job, and we hear a lot of bad news even going on right now in our economy, stuff happening there, okay? And so we want to, you know, worry about that, and that's really a sin, by the way, okay? But it says He gives us rest. And you think about this, and I was kind of going over this and thinking, Lord, you know, what is it about really sleep? We actually get rest. And you could be arrogant and say, you know what, one day I'm just going to stop sleeping. I'm just going to work, or not necessarily even work, I'm just going to stay up around the clock, okay? And you may think, well, I just don't need sleep. At nighttime, I'm going to do something productive and get some other stuff done for my job or for my family. I'm just not going to sleep. How long do you think that's going to last? A couple of 3 days, if even that. If you make it that. See, I believe God built us that way. To learn to take a step back, relax a little bit, and rest. And your body rejuvenates. And this is what's been kind of amazing to me and recently. And I'm not doing this on purpose. But I've been learning or having lately going to bed later. I was telling my wife this today. Going to bed later and getting up earlier. That's weird. But yet I feel rested. I feel like I'm getting enough rest and I'm charged up to tackle a new day. And that's what I think God does. But again, in our arrogance, we think we can do that. Eventually, you're going to get, here's my point, you're going to get knocked out. Eventually, you're going to get unconscious, and the world's going to keep moving. All of us are going to do it tonight, more than likely. Because you're not going to stay up through the night, at least most of us won't. Maybe some of you kids while it's weekend, but, you know, I don't know. But seriously, you really need to learn to, even in that time, rest and take a step back and realize that God is the one providing for you, you know. He grants sleep to those He loves. And again, it's being able to sleep. Because with so much anxiety and so much going on in our world, people can be fearful and not trust Him. You know, to say, if I lay down and go to sleep, the world's still going to be okay. But even if it's not, what's the worst thing that can happen to us Christians? We go be with Jesus. We hear about people dying in their sleep all the time. Okay? So we see accomplishment, we see security, and just a little bit of touch on, I didn't go much into this with my notes, but security, you know, we sometimes look to security, or rather to the things that we think are security, are the wrong things, like our jobs, or even our family members, or other people. You know, if we're afraid or whatever, we think, man, this person's around, or if I'm doing this or that, that's where my security comes. No, it doesn't. Security is in God and God alone. And if it's in something else, God's going to let you know that. Amen? So we get into family now. Accomplishment, security, now family. Building and security are really essential for family. Okay? So let me ask myself as I ask you guys, am I building my home with God or apart from God? Okay? And let me give you some illustrations of that. No one goes to a wedding saying, I can't wait till I get a divorce. Isn't that ludicrous? Even the way it sounds. Or, no one holds their newborn baby and says, oh, how cute. I can't wait till you grow up and rebel against God and me. That's crazy. But you know what? We all laugh and chuckle about that. But it's really what happens when we build our homes apart from God. It's what happens. God's word says one thing and we do totally the other. Ephesians 5, and I'm fixing the middle of the men because this is my strength right here. Guys, I'm talking to you right now. Ephesians 5 tells us to do one thing, and that's to love our wives as Christ loved the church. If you're a married man in here tonight, you better be doing that. You're a godly man in here tonight, you better be doing that. So, are you praying with her? What does this mean, loving her? Are you serving her sacrificially? Putting her needs above your own? Are you leading her spiritually? A lot of times, God, we just get honest. We let our wives drag us to church instead of it being the other way around. Come on! And are you pursuing her daily? How many times a day do you tell your wife you love her? She needs to hear that. Amen, baby? So again, are you building your marriage apart from God or on that mountain of sand that's going to crumble? Because that's really what happens. That's what begins to happen. These principles that we lay out above ourselves, above God rather, with ourselves, and we think it's all going to work out. And we find ourselves in divorce court or having all kinds of problems. Along those lines, too, we talk about family, and we talk especially, we get into this portion of it. How are you leading your children? What kind of example are you showing them? Looked up some statistics and came across these, and I wanted to share them with you guys because I thought it was powerful. And if we could get this in the church today, it would really change how we do ministry, even towards certain people. But check, this is about with men and women, moms and dads. When moms trust Christ apart from her husband, children follow about 17% of the time. You got a family lost, mom and dad, mom gets saved, dad didn't want nothing to do with Jesus. 17% of the time, the children are going to come alongside that. When dad trusts Christ apart from mom, children follow 93% of the time. Amen? 93%, 17 to 93, that's a big difference. Very big difference. We don't understand, man, what type of influence we have in our families. And if we get a hold of that, again, it'll change a lot of us. A Swiss study published in 2000 showed that one out of 50 children continued to attend church after leaving home if mom was a spiritual leader. One in 50. That's not very many. In fact, we're going to see a whole slew of those come to town here in a few weeks. Okay? With A&M. Blend starting. Now check this out. Two out of three children continued to attend church after leaving home if dad was a spiritual leader. Wow. Two out of three. Isn't that amazing? Men, step up and become the leader God's called you to be. This has always been a passion of Alan and I's, is to charge up men. Not for the fishing or for the sports or for the leisures or for the Who could care less activities? But for God. Amen, Brother John? Verses 3 through 5 says, sons are a heritage from the Lord. Children a reward from Him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are sons born in one's youth. Blessed is a man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their enemies in the gates. See, the Lord blesses His people with children. And I want to be very cautious here when I start talking about this, because I just want to make you aware that God is the only one that gives life. We have science and we have endo, what they call that, I can't pronounce the word, endo, where they make babies with a, you know, the scientific way. Not the natural way. And what they call that? Some of you nurses out there, somebody. That's it, in vitro fertilization, that's it, thank you. That's what man tries to do, but God is ultimately the giver of life. So when you have children, see that as a blessing, okay? See that as a blessing. Today, we don't do it like that. We don't see it like that, you know? We take a lot of times children for granted, you know? Even in, I guess, America, I think the average is like maybe two per household. I think the statistics is that two kids, a boy and a girl, and you're done, you know? But a quiver, usually I heard or understood it, a quiver starts at 5. See, I wanted to have at least 10 kids. My wife wanted to stop at 3. So, no, I might get in trouble for that one. No, but no, really, I mean, you have kids because God blesses you with them. They should be highly valued and appreciated. But this is what breaks my heart. And even some things were stories we're hearing through what's going on through the ministry at, the other night at SOS, is that, you know, many kids are discarded or neglected today. I mean, we see it all around us. Church, it should break our hearts. It should get us more actively involved to say, help. Help me, God, to be a blessing and be a, I mean, starving for mentors, especially men mentors in these communities. You read and hear stories about babies being, you know, left at the steps of a fire station. Or even finding them in dumpsters. It's tragic. And we, the church, should say, no, children are a gift from God. They're a gift from God. And as Christians, we're to trust the Lord with our families. Back to that trust issue. God, you've given them to us. You're going to help us raise them in the right way. In the way that honors you. Ephesians 6:1, this is a, to you children out there, a commandment to you guys. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. How many kids want to live a long time on the earth? See a show of hands. Okay. Obey your parents. Obey your parents. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. This is what we're supposed to do. It's what we're called to do. Okay, and I believe it does begin with the fathers. Like I said earlier. There's just a void for fatherlessness in America today. Many homes, I forgot the statistics, but many homes are, you know, single mom homes where there's no father around to help them. And this is where us in the church have got to become, especially men in the church, become proactive in those areas. But we're to lift up our families in prayer to seek God's will. Seek His ways. Okay? And let me just say this too. It's difficult to trust the Lord sometimes when your children, especially when they're sick or they're hurting or they're in danger. Many of y'all, they were there when Daniela got sick back several years ago. And God so powerfully healed her. But that was a trying time for Irene and I. Not knowing one day whether she'd live or die. From day to day. Had to open up her head and brain surgery and all that. Some of y'all know the story. Some of y'all don't. But it's hard. It's a hard time. Up until that time, in fact, probably the most important thing I learned from all that was that I don't have control of my kids' lives. I thought I did. I thought I held their heartbeats, Michael, Valerie, and Danielle's heartbeat right in my palm of my hand. But I realized, you know what? I went to that chapel in that hospital and I cried out to God, You're in control, God, not me. And if you decide to take her, it's your will, not mine. Whatever your will is, God. And thankful and so appreciative for the faithful prayers of the saints. Many of you guys that were there for us and walked through that dark time with us. But I always thought that I had control of my kids' lives, and I don't. And I learned a big lesson, though. God is faithful. God is faithful no matter what. But children are a blessing. And we must trust Him to guard and guide their lives. We've got to trust Him. He's the one that's going to take care of them. And when they get out on their own, and, you know, especially as my son went off and went into the service, and, you know, and especially was overseas in some really foreign countries, it was hard. But we trust Him. God's in control. God's in control of everything. And so I want to bring this message to a close tonight with some things to think about as we've talked about through all this. This psalm calls us to recognize that God is the ultimate true builder. Okay? He's the one that's putting it all together. We've got to do it according to His plan, according to His will. That's why I say, you can't break the principles of God and expect to accomplish His purpose in your life. You'll never do it. None of us will. None of us can. He's the only true builder. We must have an attitude of humble dependence upon Him. Again, cry out to Him. And there's no shame in admitting that you haven't done it right for a long time. Come to Him. I beg you, come to Him. Depend on Him. Lean on Him. We've got to look to God for our security on a national and a personal level. God is the one that's going to help us. He's the one that's really over everything. And we've got to trust Him in those areas. We've got to trust God with our safety and security of our families, knowing that, again, He's the one that's got them in the palm of His hand. Okay? And depend on God so all your efforts aren't unsuccessful or in vain, as we've been talking about. But as I close this time out tonight, I think about this building, the building that God wants to build. It starts, you guys, with a foundation. And that foundation is Jesus. Maybe you're here tonight. You've never accepted Him. You've never made the commitment, not a decision, because the decision can be changed, but a commitment to say, God, I take You as my Lord and Savior. I want to begin building my foundation on You so I can be the husband, the father, the wife, the Christian You call me to be. And so tonight I pray, that's my greatest prayer tonight, that You take Him into your heart and believe Him. Like the Bible says, believe in your heart. Confess rather with your mouth. Believe in your heart. God raised Him from the dead. He says, you're going to be saved. But make that commitment tonight as we close out in this time. I'll be up here in the front row. I'll pray with you. Pray for you. Whatever. I'm sure Alan will be up here. Many others. Because this is where the foundation starts. It's where the building starts. Am I right, Brother Bill? You got to start with a foundation, solid one. So I recommend Jesus tonight. He's the only one that can bring your building to be what it's supposed to be. So let's pray tonight. God, thank You for Your word. Thank You for these many passages, God, that You showed me and challenged me in, God, that You are the builder. You are the one, Lord, that we can look to for security, for true accomplishment, and for the one that leads our families and protects our families. God, tonight in this place, do what only You can do. Humble hearts, God. I ask You, Holy Spirit, to humble hearts. Break down pride in people's hearts tonight. Let them see, God, that apart from You, they're nothing. Apart from You, that building is going to get built in vain because they're trying to do it in their own works, and it won't last. So God, tonight I thank You again just for spending this time with my brothers and sisters in Christ. But take this word, God, and use it. Powerfully use it to change us and challenge us. For Your glory I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.